interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McLean on today's News Talk, TNT.
Welcome to State of the Nation. On today's News Talk, for Brian McLean, I'm Timothy Shea. We are coming to you live from Central New York and Central Texas. You can follow us on the web at tntradio.live. Well, Brian, they finally came out and said it. Donald Trump's real crime is running for office.
How dare he?
They said in court today that he committed a conspiracy to conspire to unlawfully promote his campaign in 2016. That's what they're alleging now, because under the New York statute, you have, the conspiracy has to be in furtherance of another crime. Well, running for office isn't a crime, at least not yet, but conspiring, Brian, to unlawfully promote your campaign, that's got to be a felony, right?
Conspiracy to conspire, is that like a double negative? Are they telling us that this is nothing?
I think the line from Woody Allen's Bananas says it best. This trial is a travesty of a mockery of a sham, of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
Yes, absolutely. And I think Beavis and Butthead would kick in right here too with the double inverted fart knocker dance, because that's exactly what I'm seeing.
Now, in the United Kingdom, we had a shocking result today. All charges against Tommy Robinson cleared. And what was beautiful was that Sky News's Victoria Byrd, a virtue signaling twat if there ever was one, was in Tommy's face. And Tommy said, "Unlike you, Victoria, I'm a real journalist. I have credibility. I have people who follow me." And she said, "Real journalists don't have criminal charges against them." And he's like, "Oh yeah, what are the criminal charges?" And then she said, "I'm bored." And she looked down at her phone and she wouldn't engage. Then Tommy went into court and the judge said, "No, the police did not have the authority to authorize the dispersal of the protest because they hadn't done the proper paperwork." And so they asked Tommy afterward how he felt. He said, "Well, I'm happy to have charges dropped, but I'm still angry, A, that it cost £66,000 for this prosecution, and B, now they're just going to do the right paperwork. They're going to still keep up with this lawfare." So even though it was a good result in the short term, long term, I don't think anything's changed there across the pond.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder about Tommy Robinson sometimes. He always seems to have the charges dropped and never seems to do the long time, while other people in the UK seem to be doing long time for similar charges. So it makes me wonder if he's got some backing or something.
Plants have been known, right? Agents provocateur have been known to exist, whether Tommy's one or not. I bet I'm tracking with you.
Yeah. Now, and the interesting thing about people like that, if he was a person like that, is they kind of run that 80-20 thing where you can agree with about 80% of the things they say and do. But then there's that 20% margin where they kind of toy with the legal lines and we see outcomes like this. I'm not accusing him of anything, but I do wonder sometimes.
Yeah, look, I don't even trust myself. A friend of mine said, "You've got trust issues." I said, "I don't have any trust issues. I don't even trust myself." And really, that's the way you've got to be today. You got to question everything. So you're right to do so. Now, Indeed. Guess what else hasn't changed? The revolving door between the federal government and private industry, Brian. The Pentagon is embedding active duty officers in corporate America. But don't worry. It's just a training program, Brian. And the nonprofit Quincy Institute Nonprofit Institute for Responsible Statecraft came out with an eye-opening report today on the Pentagon embedding officers in U.S. corporation. The report focused on DOD's Secretary of Defense Executive Fellows Program, which entails military officers working for major corporations. And the program ostensibly is aimed at giving participating officers the ability to learn how private companies work and to take what they learn back to the military. But that's in theory, Brian. In practice, the program has served as a corporate welfare program, giving corporations federal dollars, and also a revolving door for careers, because guess what? Of the sample of former fellows that were analyzed, 43% went to work for a government contractor since leaving the program. and perhaps the most glaring example of its abuse was a fellow who recommended that the DOD modify its outsourcing rules and make it easier for the fellow's company to work with DOD. And guess what that company was? That would be Enron. And the recommendations were made a mere 6 months before the company imploded.
Yet another fabulous example of how this country actually works. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Look, we could cut trillions off of the federal budget if we would just get rid of these programs. And while we're at it, let's just get rid of the executive agencies, bureaus, and departments that are responsible for them.
Sounds like a plan to me. I think the first question that should be asked anytime you see something like this is, how does this help Americans? And most often the answer is going to be, it doesn't.
You're absolutely correct. It doesn't. But we help you for all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you. Just visit the What's On events calendar on the TNT website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on today's news talk, TNT.
Abroad or at home, this is your news.
By staying silent, we are part of the problem.
Today's news talk radio, TNT.
Here to provide his excellent analysis of topical interest is Joe Hoff of the Gateway Pundit. You can check him out at thegatewaypundit.com and joehoff.com. Welcome back to State of the Nation, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. You sound great. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. So, Joe, let me start off by asking you this. If a judge who has no credibility accuses you as the defense attorney of losing your credibility, have you really lost your credibility?
It's a good question. It's like, yeah, chicken or the egg. I'm not sure. I'd say no. If it's Merchan or that judge in New York, absolutely not. By the way, you guys had a great opening or segment there where you mentioned this whole incident of they're trying to say that Trump was doing something for his campaign in 2016, and they're claiming that's some sort of crime. Well, it's bizarre. This whole case is bizarre because what they're charging him for is accounting activity, and I think we've talked about this before, that occurred in 2017. And they claim that these accounting entries that were made in 2017 somehow impacted his 2016 election. And so it's like, I've never seen that happen before, where somebody does something a year from now and that impacts something today. You know, maybe if I did something today and that impacted something tomorrow, that would make sense. But this is the first time in world history we've ever seen anybody accused of some sort of fortune-telling, time warp machine impacting incidents in the past by doing something today. It's just, that's the logic behind this case. It is so crazy. It's really laughable. It's so bad, which makes it even worse because this is our country and it's the president of the United States they're going after. It's just totally bizarre world.
Yeah, that's why I had to reference the double inverted factor, you know, just this Beavis Perfect. And Butthead factor going on here where it's just like, it's so backwards, nobody would believe it, you know, nobody would believe it unless it was like, well, everything's upside down and, you know, OFF is ON.
Yeah, and you know, guys, you know that I'm a CPA and I can't remember if we talked about this before, but the charges, there's 34 charges there against Trump. They're saying they're felonies. 11 of them are he received a letter in the mail, basically, because he received a invoice from apparently Michael Cohen, or his company did. Trump didn't. His company did. And these invoices total $130,000, very limited amount and very small amount. And then they went back 7 years to find these, which sounds pretty targeted to me. They also I never would have done that as an auditor. If I'm doing an audit of this year's financials, I wouldn't look at prior years at all. Unless there was something really weird that was occurring. But that's lunacy that an auditor would go back. And the 2-year statutory of limitations would have also prevented me from even wasting my time. But he gets 11 felonies for receiving a letter in the mail. He gets then 11 felonies for, actually 12, for posting an entry in the books, which we talked about maybe before too. That's the U.S. GAAP, what you would do whenever you get a liability, you book it immediately into your books. And so that was would have been the proper thing to do. That's they're saying that's a felony. And then the third thing, there's 11 times they're saying when he cut a check, that was a felony. That's how they come up with 33 felonies. It's insanity. There's no such thing as a felony for receiving a letter in the mail, or for putting an entry into your books, or for cutting a check or wire. It's insanity what this thing's all about. And from top it all off, it's impacting something a year ago. You know, none of this makes sense. It's an accounting exercise that makes no sense. And also they could bring up Stormy Daniels, you know. And by the way, I heard Bannon this morning talking about it, and they're thinking that Stormy Daniels, they're hearing that she's going to come out and say that, yes, she had consensual sex with President Trump, even though she signed documents saying that they never did. And she's going to say that it was not consensual, that she was actually raped. Just like E. Jean Carroll, this is going to be their narrative now. Stormy Daniels was abused by Donald Trump. I mean, this is what we're seeing here. It's beyond National Enquirer stuff. It's just grotesque, and it's I believe total fabrications, and it makes no sense. It's just this is what America's going through right now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like something. It's like the unholy love child of Franz Kafka and Eugene Ionesco, right? We've got the theater of the absurd meeting up with bleak reality, and none of this computes. We've all seen Donald Trump's desk and all the various interviews they've had with him, not over the years, but over the decades. I don't recall seeing a computer there. I don't recall seeing double entry accounting books. I don't recall seeing a checkbook. You know, the idea, A, that he opens his own mail, B, so he wouldn't have seen the invoice, B, that he does his own accounting entries, and C, that he cuts his own checks is ludicrous. There's only one document that they can point to with his signature on it, and that's the check to Cohen. And Joe, it looks like Cohen cooked this up as an extortion scheme or a fraud scheme with Stormy Daniels herself.
I believe so. You heard that, Michael? Yeah, Michael Avenatti even confirmed that. That's his belief. He was willing to supposedly testify to it. I wouldn't trust that guy to do anything. So,
yeah.
But that's what they're saying. You're right. And the actual filing, when you look at it, says President Trump made these entries or forced somebody else to make them. Lunacy. I worked in a big corporation, multi-billion-dollar, like Trump's corporation. It's just a multi-billion-dollar. The CEO never touched an entry in anything that I ever saw. It's lunacy. You know, CEO is busy doing other things. The CFO didn't touch any entries. I oversaw a $1 billion block of business in the accounting area. I never made any entries. I'm telling you, it's an entry level type of jobs that do that, and there's controls in place. But you never do that stuff yourself, not at a higher level. No way did the CEO even touch this stuff. Again, the whole thing just is it's a bizarre fantasy made up by some individuals that have no idea about accounting. They just don't know. So they want to throw Stormy Daniels in. That's what it's all about. Slandering Trump, bringing up nasty things, and you know, just trying to, you know, get all those Karens in the suburbs all upset about that he's a monster.
So if they say, if they're claiming that Trump forced someone in the organization to sign the check, and the check doesn't say in the comment field, oh, by the way, to cover up a rape that I did, you know, back in this year to benefit myself in this, you know, all those stupid details. If they're saying that he forced someone in the organization to do it, isn't the burden on them to prove that, to show an email, to show a phone call, to bring someone to the stand?
Yeah, that's true. And I've heard that they just really don't have any evidence of that. It's what my understanding is. Maybe he signed one check or something. I don't even know about that. So
yeah, the only evidence we have is that check to Michael Cohen, who was his attorney at the time. And it looks as though, you know, the real evidence we have is that this whole thing was cooked up by Alvin Bragg at the behest of the White House. The DOD was working, the DOJ was working with Alvin Bragg's office to cook this case up. And just like Judge Engoron voted overruled Tish James yesterday and dismissed her effort to get the insurance company that wrote Trump's bond for $175 million to get that voided, I think that even though Marchand has shown a clear animus against Donald Trump, that eventually he's going to have no choice but to rule against the prosecution in this case. Give you the last word.
Well, I don't know. They're going to do anything they want. That's, you know, Marchand, his family's made millions of dollars. So he seems to be paid off. There's massive conflict of interest. It shouldn't be. There's the laws in New York say you cannot be a judge over a case where you've got a conflict of interest. This is massive. His daughter's made millions from these people. There's ties to George Soros, Bragg. And the DOJ, Biden's DOJ. I mean, this guy, Poangelo, comes over from the DOJ, top level position, takes this lower level job working for Bragg. None of it makes any sense. He was sent there to set this thing up and to move it forward for the Biden administration, just like we saw today in the case down in Florida, the documents case, where we find out, yeah, the Biden administration was behind that as well. These are the documents they wanted to keep classified, and the judge said, no, you got to release this stuff. And that's they want it classified and redacted because it's their crimes that they're covering up again. And
exactly.
Still.
When you look at the unredacted emails or the unredacted files, indeed, they were covering up emails that this entire thing was a concoction directed out of 1600, the Oval Office. Joe, we've got a lot of cases yet left to be decided. We're going to have you on a lot more to break them all down for us. Folks, go to joehoff.com and thegatewaypundit.com to see Joe's excellent work. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Have a great evening.
You too. And stay tuned for more State of the Nation right here on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's Rick Munn.
The U.S. have provided assurances to prevent Julian Assange's appeal against extradition. So the death penalty will not be imposed, they said. But WikiLeaks founder's wife, Stella Assange, said he will not be afforded First Amendment protections. So last month, two judges deferred a decision on whether Assange, who is trying to avoid being prosecuted in the US on espionage charges, clearly relating to the publication of thousands of classified documents that they say endanger life, and so on and so forth. So bottom line is here, the US government have said, pinky promise, we won't put him to death when he gets there. Yeah, that's a little bit like if a crocodile could talk, or a great white could talk, and you're on a surfboard and you're thinking of going into the ocean for a little dip, and he said, don't worry, I won't bite.
Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on today's News Talk, TNT. We'll keep on top of the news.
It's the most important thing we can do.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, so the SEC says they want to track the personal information of every investor in real time to prevent crime. Isn't that nice? Gee, thanks for that, SEC. Never mind your Fourth Amendment rights, any of that. So joining us now to discuss is NCLA Senior Litigation Counsel Andrew Morris. Andy, welcome to State of the Nation. Thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time. So what's going on here? This seems like such a blatant violation of Americans' privacy. Does the SEC not already have enough rules and means of auditing in place?
Well, in their view, they don't have enough information fast enough. Traditionally, they've had to jump through certain legal hoops, such as have a showing and a reason to investigate before they could get your investor information. And they have decided and said publicly in their proposals that slows them down too much for a number of reasons. And so they've ordered the industry to create this single database that includes name and other information of every investor in every trade on any stock exchange in the United States. And they get it in essentially real time. There's a little delay, but they got it. And so with none of the traditional limitations about there might have been a violation here, there might be a problem with this stock, they just scoop it all up and then they can analyze it and go through it and sift through it at their leisure. That's the big change.
Because the FISA program worked out so well, right?
Well, you know, funny you mentioned it. That has not come up somehow. Not yet, but yes, that's a similar kind of problem with data, as you all have talked about on your show, the number of different places this data is building up and keeping limitations in these legal procedures that limit when these agencies can see it have become increasingly important. And yet at the same time, the SEC has decided that that's an inconvenience and that slows them down. And so they have themselves decided, they've issued a rule that said, we essentially absolve ourselves from complying with these procedures that have limited us for decades.
Yeah, isn't that the inconvenience clause of the inconvenience exception to the Fourth Amendment? It's, you have a Fourth Amendment right to be secure in your person's papers and property unless it's inconvenient for the government?
No, that's a Fourth Amendment issue that's been fought as long as we've been fighting about the Fourth Amendment, which is someone on the government side says, need this faster. It's too hard to prove we need it. There are a number of convenience excuses. Law enforcement says, we just want to get this without going through the Fourth Amendment hoops. So let us just scoop it all in ahead of time. And now in this era of, obviously, of digitization, it's much easier to just kind of compile this information because sometimes it builds up somewhere. And here they're deciding they want to put it in one place, they can go through it because, as you indicate, it's much more convenient. And they don't have to wait and see who might have done something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense from their perspective, I'm sure. But in a national environment where Americans are realizing that pretty much anything with a 3 or 4 letter acronym to it, if it's federal, has been weaponized against them. So, I mean, clearly they're not shy about this in an environment where trust in institutions is at an all-time low.
Well, that's a very timely comment. And some of this is new, but some of this is a long-running theme that we've seen over and over, which is, as both of you have pointed out, the Constitution isn't there to make things as convenient as possible for law enforcement or for the state to just kind of scoop things up and decide, you know, it'd be easier to know what everybody's doing at all times. It'd be easier to know where your car is at all times so I can look back and see if maybe somebody's speeding. Here, it's easier to just scoop up everybody's stock trades, and then we can look for patterns or look for problems and see if one of these more than 100 million Americans whose information is or will be in the database has done something wrong. That, of course, raises even broader problems. There's the Fourth Amendment, this is a huge Fourth Amendment problem, indeed a historic Fourth Amendment problem. And it raises a series of concerns. Another one is once an agency has this information, you get on the wrong side of someone, they can look at that and look and see who's Brian invested in. Are we happy with what he's done with his investments the last X years? Can we criticize him for that? And so you're subject to all sorts of scouring of your confidential personal conduct in a way that the government, no agency, was in a position to do before now.
Well, there's another Fourth Amendment issue, and that hinges on the word secure. The Fourth Amendment provides that we shall be secure in our papers, and federal databases have shown that they're anything but secure. And if you get everyone's information together, not only their name, their address, their birth date, their social security number, but all of their trading information, their account information, I mean, that is a hacker's dream. That's the mother load right there.
And no, you're right on target. And that has been a significant issue. The last several years where Congress and the ACLU and others have really pushed on the SEC about subjecting just mom and pop investors, more than 100 million people who just want to invest to save for retirement, now have their data and their investment account information in a computer somewhere, where, as you indicated, it's a huge target for hackers. And hackers can even, according to experts, hackers can even use this information to steal from your portfolio. So cyber hacking is huge. As you may know, a number of agencies have been hacked. The SEC's in a primo database, Edgar, was hacked several years ago. Just a couple of months ago, hackers were able to send tweets in the name of the SEC commissioner, chair, from his Twitter account, which caused significant turbulence in the market in one instance. And so you're exactly right that is a big problem. That is one issue that has drawn a lot of attention on this so-called CAT, as they call it. And the cyber hacking is a big problem. The agency assures us that they're on top of it, and they will see that it's not a problem. But it is it has been a long running issue. In fact, even the entity they've set up to own this, called CAT LLC, has asked for certain protection from liability if they're cyber hacking, because those who know best, which is the people who are running the database, are worried about getting sued if they permit this data to be hacked. So they've looked for very low limits. They've looked for certain protection against hacking, because again, they're the ones that know it best, and they're very concerned about it. So in our view, that is another violation, and as you indicated, it multiplies the Fourth Amendment problem, because it's far from being secure in your papers. If the government's putting them in a database where bad actors from around the world, they'll be trying to crack into this database. So it's another issue that we're contesting.
Right. They say, we're all over it. We're on it. Don't worry about it. We'll do our best, you know, just like AT&T, just like LastPass, just like the California DA's office when they leaked over a decade of CCW requests. I mean, we see these hacks over and over again. Andy, hold the line. We have a headline inbound here, and when we get back, we'll pick up right where we left off here on State of the Nation at Today's News Talk, TNT.
Check this out.
Now, TNT Radio News.
Can you say
news?
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The International Monetary Fund has issued a warning about the Biden administration's high deficit spending, highlighting its potential to exacerbate inflation and cause financial instability. Ukraine's Minister for Foreign Affairs announced that Ukrainian consulates will temporarily suspend all services to men aged 18 to 60, effective Tuesday. These individuals will now need to return to Ukraine to obtain any required documents.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on Today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
All right, Andy Morris is our guest. Andy, you know, we were talking during the headline there, and we're looking at this indemnity factor here, this whatever the lowest common denominator of IT security to protect people's personally identifiable information. And in this case, banking information, which is a whole level up, you know, right up there with your medical information. And it made Timothy and I both think, wow, this is like Pfizer or Moderna getting, you know, indemnity from hurting people.
Right. We do think the indemnity is telling. As I said, these are the folks that know it best. I don't claim to be a cybersecurity expert by any means. It's all incredibly technical. So a good marker is that, you know, these are the folks who are concerned enough to have wanted protection. And as it stands now, the SEC actually has rejected their request for the kind of protection they requested, and that's still evolving. Like so many things about this have been evolving. It's been a decade-long project, because the complexity is, this is the largest, reportedly, this is the largest securities database of any kind, but the largest government database outside of the National Security Agency, which of course is a little bit more in the database business than the SEC is supposed to be. And so this is one of a number of kind of open source that are still kind of being worked out. They're going to figure out how that's going to be done.
Andy, how does the Fisher case potentially impact this CAT program? If the court rules that EPA does not have the rulemaking authority, and that these matters need to be done through legislation passed by Congress, how is that going to affect SEC's rulemaking authority?
Well, I think you're right that concept is directly applicable here. In fact, there's a line, a pretty long line of cases that now have evolved where agencies are constantly, repeatedly kind of overstepping their bounds and coming up with new theories about why they have authority to do something that at the time they announced it, say, this is unprecedented, this is a sea change, but really it's the same thing we've been doing under this old statute. So you put your finger on that. I mean, that concept will apply here. I don't know if that one particular development will make a difference, but in our view, that's just one more piece in a pretty clear line of cases that say that agencies can't come up with these new ideas and try to read them into old statutes. The fact they read them into such an old statute and never thought of doing this before is a problem for them, as it is in some of these other cases that you refer to.
Especially when it leads to people having criminal cases brought against them because of a, like you said, a theory or a definition. In the case of the ATF, they love doing definitions. EPA loves doing definitions, and these sort of things. It's like, where is Congress when these things can, you know, actually affect Americans and have, you know, some sort of constitutional challenge to them? It always surprises me, or maybe it doesn't in this day and age, that Congress doesn't step in. And at the same time, I'm curious, are SEC auditors, are they not busy? You know what I mean? Do they have tons of extra time they need to fill? They need more cases? Or is this because AI has become part of everything in the last 18 months or so, and now they want to unleash crawlers and bots and AI into the system there to generate potential case files? Is that what we're really looking at here?
Well, we're looking at some variation of that exactly, which is once you have a large database, and this, the SEC first floated this idea in 2010 when the era of big data had kind of arrived, and it was clear that if we get a big database, that we can analyze it. And AI is a good example. There are a lot of techniques that look for patterns in data and that come up with theories of violations. And so it's another application of this era of a combination of huge data and AI methods of analyzing it. So that makes it more attractive than it was before the agency could look for violations among so many people.
Right. And is there a segment of Americans or American businesses or anyone in this country that is asking for this? Does this benefit anyone but the SEC, the federal government, and those looking to weaponize the database?
My short answer would be no. Good night. I mean, we don't see anyone clamoring for it other than the agency says this makes enforcement better. And there's terminology. We can perform better market surveillance, and we can protect you from insider trading, because that's what they would say. But it's kind of the opposite of what you're asking, which is, on the other hand, it injures more than 100 million Americans. So it cuts across, where you use the word segment, which is a great word. In fact, it cuts across all segments who invest for retirement, who invest to buy a house, who put money in the market. And that's not really a segment. That's a huge cross-section of just ordinary investors, the American public, not professional investors, just ordinary folks. It cuts across all those people.
Yeah, this rule seems to be the FINRA full employment rule, right? Because obviously FINRA is going to be the enforcement arm. What are the exchanges and the trading houses? What's their position on this? The Fidelities of the world and the big board and the Amex?
Yeah, they have not been active in the effort we've been making to attack it, at least so far. It's their regulator, and you can fill in the blanks and speculate about why they might have chosen not to oppose it at the start as outside, as overreach by the agency, as just a power grab. It's their regulator. So they're kind of in a quandary about going hard against their regulator and antagonizing them about certain issues. So they have not been vocal. They've been expressed concern about the cyber hacking and some of the issues, but they have not been very active about opposing the whole thing root and branch, as we do. Our position is the whole thing's got to go. It's a power grab by this agency. It's unconstitutional. As you said, it's Congress's job if they want to do it, but our complaint says that it's Congress's job if they want to do it, but Congress is not allowed to do it because, as you indicated, Timothy, it's a huge Fourth Amendment problem. It's also a First Amendment problem for the reasons we explained, that they're going to look into your kind of deepest decisions about your value decisions, about how you want to invest or your investment strategies. For all those reasons, we're attacking root and branch, but the brokers and so forth haven't had reason to get involved in those issues yet that we're aware of.
I would think that some of your biggest supporters in this should be the people on Capitol Hill. They do the most rank trading that I have ever seen. I watch a social media channel that posts when one of them will sell $40 million worth of stock, this sort of activity. These people making $173,000 a year that somehow have, you know, $200 million net values. I mean, is it going to be like FISA for them? Are they going to be, indemnified from this database too?
Yeah, those are some very interesting numbers. There's no doubt there's some eye poppers when you look at the trading genius on Capitol Hill. We haven't heard them express say that they're concerned about it yet, but they're concerned about the cyber hacking at the moment. But that's a great point. We'll see how that plays out.
All right. Yeah. We're very curious about that. Timothy and I always wonder, how are these people so genius? They seem so busy with all their committees and stuff, yet I suppose
I'm surprised they're in Congress and not managing money, Brian. I mean, just the rates of return these people achieve is just off the charts.
We'll see if that gets a reaction out of them, but they haven't connected that up with the cat yet. They don't seem that concerned about it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised either. Andy, so for people just learning about this, what can they do to get involved? Because I'm sure a lot of people are watching this and saying, well, my goodness, you know, this doesn't sound right. I've seen what all these agencies are doing, and I don't like the idea of all of my financial information being potentially exposed in a giant database that shouldn't be there in the first place because it is arguably unconstitutional. How can people help you?
Sure, Brian. There's two things come to mind. And one is they can, write their member of Congress. Let their voice be heard. Start getting more activity than there has been opposing this. The other is we at the New Civil Liberties Alliance have brought a lawsuit, and it could be strengthened by the right plaintiffs. We're always welcome hearing from somebody who's interested in joining in. We have brought it as a class action, and that will play out over the next year or so. We'll see how that plays out. But we have brought it in the name of all the investors whose information is vacuumed up by this database. And so they're welcome to contact us and learn more about what's going on with the lawsuit itself.
Okay, great. And do you want to shout the website out where they can find that?
Right. We are at ncla.legal. This is our, is the, I should know what it is. But New Civil Liberties Alliance, NCLA. You'll see the whole history of the case on our website will pop up. Just look for the cat and you can see where we stand. We give you background about it and where we filed and all the filings to date. You can see where we are, and we'll be, and we just filed last week. So we're in the early stages, but it'll be proceeding along pretty quickly now.
Okay, great. So if you're watching and you think you might have a piece in this, remember, this is a class action. You can contact Andy and his colleagues, and I'm sure they would love to hear from you. This is going to be a big case. I think this is going to be really big. This is definitely a big issue. There's so many good uses for big data. If it could just be protected properly and it wasn't always in the hands of people that want to share it with their buddies at Palantir and in other segments of government and law enforcement where it may not be constitutional to do so. All right, Andy Morris, thank you so much for joining us. We'll look forward to getting an update from you real soon as this process continues.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. We think it's very important. We're going to be moving forward. We'll look forward to talking to you about it again.
Okay, thanks, excellent. Drop us a line anytime. We'd love to have you for an update. This is State of the Nation on today's News Talk. We'll be right back. This is TNT.
JDRF's vision is to create a world without type 1 diabetes. The type 1 diabetes community is at the heart of everything JDRF does. We were founded by the type 1 diabetes community. In the main, we are governed by the type 1 diabetes community, we're energised by the type 1 community, and we're accountable to the type 1 diabetes community. It's on their behalf that we exist, and it's on their behalf that we must succeed. JDRF exists to rid the world of type 1 diabetes. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. So for us, that means rallying all the resources and all the people and all the organisations required to make that a reality as quickly as possible. The world's best researchers, exciting innovative companies, and the passion of the type 1 diabetes community then delivered through the health system so lives get better every day, day after day, until the day we find a cure. To everybody in the type 1 diabetes community, No matter your age or stage with the disease, whether you were diagnosed recently or a long time ago, we need you to know that we are here working on your behalf to deliver a world without type 1 diabetes as quickly as we can. Thank you to everybody who's supported JDRF in so many ways. You are making our vision of a world without type 1 diabetes possible.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's 1 in 5 daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
You're with Brian McClain and Timothy Shea and State of the Nation on today's News Talk TNT.
Here we go.
Here we go. With her husband, Ty, Charlene Bollinger is a renowned healthcare freedom advocate, filmmaker, and founder of the widely acclaimed website, The Truth About Cancer. The Bollingers are set to release their latest project, the highly anticipated docuseries, titled Remedy, on July 26th. So everything is smooth sailing, right? Well, not exactly. The Bollingers remain banned on Elon Musk's X and are now banned on TikTok. Here with all the 411 is our good friend, Charlene Bollinger. Charlene, welcome back to State of the Nation.
Yeah, it's so good to be back. Thank you. And what an intro. Yes, censorship is getting thicker every day. You won't believe what Facebook is doing to us. They're taking down in the comment section. Our followers and fans are saying, where can we follow you? Because we know that you can't tell the truth to us here on Facebook. I'm like, Substack, The Truth About Cancer Substack. Go there. Here's the link. And Facebook comes in and says, this breaks our community standards. We took that comment down. That's how crazy it's getting.
Unreal.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, it really is unreal. And it's like, you haven't even gotten your X account back yet. I have one I haven't gotten back yet, and I've tried multiple times in Twitter 1.0 and 2.0. It's just not happening. Timothy as well. And now there's, you know, they've got us focused right now on what's going on in Brazil with regards to X and what's going on in Australia with regards to X. Just, you know, massive, what appears to be national free speech impingements on what's supposed to be an American corporation. And that's all very bad and disturbing and, you know, portentous of very bad things internationally for web freedom. But at the same time, how do the three of us sit here and say we support Elon Musk when he's banned all three of our accounts? I mean, it's I almost have a hard time feeling bad for him. I feel more bad for international free speech and the freedom on the internet than I do X.
Well, you know, I have to agree. And here's the thing. Every time Elon Musk, and I'm not a defender of Elon Musk, I'm not in that club. Every time Elon comes out and says, I'm really facilitating freedom of speech, we've got five accounts they've taken down, five. They so graciously restored us to two of the smaller accounts. And on these accounts, we lost most of our followers when we came back and were shadow banned. So every time I see Elon Musk say, we're all about freedom here, I said, Elon, if you're really about freedom, where is at the truth, or where is at Cancer Truth News? Where is Truth About Big C? Those are our two bigger accounts. And by the way, why is at TTAV Official still shadow banned if you're about free speech? It's saying one thing but doing another. Hypocrisy at the highest levels. We're still being censored while they're saying we're not.
Yeah, Charlene, text me those handles because I'm going to add them to my two, because every time Elon crows about defending free speech, I always reply, Elon, with you 100%. Now, how about reinstating MAGA underscore Institute and at TimboTim62. So, you know, he didn't ban us, but he hasn't unbanned us either. I look at Elon the same way I look at Ron DeSantis when he was on the stage at CPAC in 2021, crowing that Florida's open for business. And not 50 feet away from him out in the hallway, there were mask Nazis policing people and kicking them out of the hotel if they weren't wearing, Brian, what do you call it? A ritual...
The ritual shaming. Muzzle of shame.
The ritual muzzle of shame. Yeah.
Yeah, that's some hot, crazy stuff there. I'm going to send you my mask rant that I went on in 2021. I was doing viral lives. Speaking of censorship, Facebook knows my phone. I got a new phone. They pegged it. I can't get into my app. My daughter came in to help us on our Facebook moderation and posting and so forth. When she plugged into her account to mine, now she can't get in. I can't do these Facebook lives. They've disabled so much functionality. We can't share our posts to stories. I mean, we're really under the gun. So the masking was so crazy. I never masked. I was always educating people as they tried to put a mask on my face. I wouldn't do it. And so in the stores, if someone dared to approach me, they got a half hour lecture on why they shouldn't be masking, why should they should be standing with us for freedom. So we did educate a lot of people. I wouldn't spend money on the non-freedom stores, and other freedom fighters, big, huge names, said, well, don't fight for the mask. What's the mask? And at the same time, we had the J6 stage. We had the only permitted Capitol stage. And some of these speakers came in off the plane and they were hardcore masking then. You remember that time? And they just got up on rants. I can't believe they forced me to put a mask on. And then they forced the vaccine on a lot of people. Of course, we didn't do that. A lot of our followers didn't either. But that's why we got placed on the disinformation dozen, because they didn't want people to learn the truth about these poisonous vaccines that could potentially take their life. Now, every day we turn on some kind of news outlet and we're seeing people drop dead suddenly all the time. Every day at very young ages, young children having myocarditis, which, by the way, as you know, Pfizer knew this was a side effect as well as a lot of other things that we're seeing. They knew it wouldn't be safe. They knew it wouldn't be effective. They knew it wouldn't stop the spread, but yet mask up and take that vaccine because science.
That's right. I live by the adage that ridicule is our most potent weapon. A good friend of mine made me this mask. So every time they force me to put a mask on, this is what I put on. And that doesn't work. I said, well, guess what? Neither does yours. Your mask, trying to stop a virus with your mask is like trying to stop a mosquito with a chain link fencing. And so, yeah, I use them as educational moments. But I will confess, okay, we're supposed to be the bigger person and all of that. But I will confess that the dweeby little assistant manager that accosted me in Sprouts down in Pinellas County, Sir, you need to wear a mask. I took great delight, Charlene, in looking down at him and saying, you know, I got a lot of needs. That's not one of them. Turning and walking away. He didn't know. He was left sputtering. He didn't know what to say.
I love it. I love it. I think that all of us freedom fighters have so many great stories like that. I've got a ton of them. But again, I'll share my mask rant with you.
Yeah, please do.
Went to D.C. with I always stayed at the Trump Hotel, friends with Marla Maples, Tiffany Trump, Eric Trump. And so working together to save America when Donald was still in the White House, I remember the one mask that I did wear was made by the same designer that did a lot of Tiffany's clothes and Kim Goifel's clothes. Really great guy, Zhang Toy. Look him up. He's a patriot. He's one of the few designers that stood up and proudly dressed the Trump family, which was super great. So I got his mask. It was a blingy red, white, and blue like flag, you know. And so when I'm at the hotel, the ladies are like, where did you get the mask? And it was funny because when I had to just get on the plane, and you know how really hardcore they became on those airplanes, mm-hmm. I had the mask on. And the people that really, now you can tell who the Democrat and Republicans are. The Democrats hate the flag. You know, so I have this on my face, this beautiful flag, blingy, sparkly crystals and stuff. And those people were extra mean to me because they knew that I loved America, you know, and these are Americans that hate America, but they don't realize the true enemy of our souls has an agenda and they're just useful idiots fighting for their own enemy that would destroy them. And they're facilitating a quicker destruction. That's what we try to help people to understand.
Yeah, absolutely. The airplanes were the worst. That was the only place in a whole 2 years I actually had to break down and wear one. And I tried to, you know, half-ass it, and I was getting called out over the monitor by the flight attendant over and over. I mean, I'm lucky I didn't get that flight rerouted. And well, I don't know. Can they send you to jail for not wearing a mask? That's still a little bit debatable. Depends what country, state, county, federal property you're on. Your mileage may vary. But luckily, I didn't get arrested for it. But yeah, do you think people will go back to that if they try to pull Disease X out of the hat as the rabbit before November or in, you know, any time in the near future? What do you think the mask up percentage will be compared to what it was for the COVID go around?
That's a great question. I think that my concern is the freedom fighters that we worked alongside during this scandemic willingly masked up, saying that's not the hill they would die on. And so because the freedom fighters were masking, even though they knew it was ridiculous, this next time they're warning us this next thing that's coming is much more dangerous, much more deadly. And they want to target the children with this thing, because what parent would not jump through any hoop to save the life of their kiddos? So I think that it's going to be a different thing, a different vibe, a different narrative. And I think that they're going to focus on the children. I hope that I'm wrong. But if you know True Health, and by the way, guys, we're coming out with a one supplement that will mitigate all of these things they're throwing at us. There's a top scientist, the guy that developed this product that we're going to be putting out, I think next week, is, and it's something that everybody really needs. Now, we did put a protocol with the genius doctor. He wants to remain anonymous, but it's too cumbersome. There's so many of our followers are like, I can't do that because there's 20 things you got to do. So we've got this thing. The guy is so smart. He's got the third highest IQ in the world. And I think it's 240 something. It's like crazy high. But we're coming out with that. If you know how to defend yourself from their biologicals, you really can successfully defend yourself without being funneled into their 15-minute cities, which basically that's what this is. They're working night and day to take away our freedoms. You know that I think it was Kissinger that said the only thing between the New World Order and the implementation of it is America. They want to demolish America so they can bring in the New World Order, and they're doing it with that open border. They're doing it with bringing the foreign troops, the men from the Middle East that are being put into camps. And what are they doing? What are they getting ready for? And so, you know, that's why the Second Amendment was written in the Constitution, to protect the First Amendment and also to protect the life of our children and the vibrancy and the vitality of our country. They want to destroy America, and it's time to say no. It's time to stand up and say, I'm not going to put the mask on. And I said this during COVID. This is why they shut us down. Don't put the mask on. Don't spend your money at stores that are going to acquiesce to this ridiculous chaos and mayhem that is just simply one of the bullet points that they're rolling out to take away America, to take away our freedom. Do not acquiesce. These are not laws. They're not good for you. They're mandates, suggestions. You can't say no. You have the right to vote with your dollar bills. And if everybody did that, we would shut them down overnight. The only power they have in this agenda, whether it's a Disease X or whatever they're going to throw at us, is the power that we give them. We hold the power. We outnumber them by millions to one. And so if collectively we say no, we don't do with them, what are they going to do? Are they going to bomb every city? Are they going to laser down everybody? They need us to build the things that they need built. We do hold the power. And when we give the power back to the people, and that's what I was seeing happen through these Facebook Lives and Instagram Lives, they were going uber viral. People were being empowered. They were realizing, wait, I don't have to do this. They just need someone to give them the okay, the stamp of approval. You don't have to wear the mask. And so we'll
continue.
That's
right. Defy, don't comply. We're gonna have to leave it there, exactly. Charlene. But I would use an analogy from the law enforcement world, right? Just like the Safe Streets Initiative, you take care of the graffiti, you take care of the broken window before it becomes guys selling crack on the corner and robbing and raping and everything else. We need to die on that mask hill, because if they take the mask, they're going to, you know, if we give them the mask, they're going to take the vax and on and on and on. They'll never stop. Again, where could people reach you best right now, since you are so banned? Got about 30 seconds.
All of our socials are on thetruthaboutcancer.com. I have a skincare company, Toxic Free. It's beautiful. We're having a Mother's Day sale right now. So if you go to charlize.beauty, I use a code LOVEMOM, you'll get 10% off. I get those beautiful products for your family. So that's where you can find us. Charlize.beauty.
Excellent.
thetruthaboutcancer.com.
Fantastic. Charlene, can't wait to have you back here on State of the Nation on today's News Talk. We've got more State of the Nation right after this news.